This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Electric cars are here. Ford, Nissan, and Honda are just some of the companies that are making all electric cars. And as batteries improve and electric charging stations pop up across the country, electric car companies are hoping to revolutionize the auto industry.
Then there's the Tesla Motor Company of California, which wants not only to revolutionize what we drive, but how we buy it. Tesla makes the Model S, a luxury all-electric car that sells for about $100,000. And the company wants to bypass traditional dealerships and sell directly to you from its own showrooms, in the same way that Apple sells its Macs and iPads from its own Apple stores.
Tesla has a store in the Natick Mall, but here's the problem. It's against the law to sell directly to the public. In all 50 states, car makers are prohibited from operating their own dealerships. But Tesla wants to change that, and here in Massachusetts, the auto dealers are pushing back.
The courts are involved, so is the state legislature. In what's becoming a full-blown fight that could change the way we all buy cars. In a moment, we'll hear from the State Automobile Dealers Association. But first, I'm joined by Dermot O'Connell. He's the Vice President of Business Development for Tesla Motors. And welcome to Radio Boston. It's great to have you.
Thanks so much. I'm a Boston native, so it's nice to be talking to you.
Well,
guys.
Good to have you back home. Also joining me is Galen Moore. He's the web editor at the Boston Business Journal, who's been reporting on this. And Galen Moore, welcome to you.
Thanks, Anthony.
And let me start with you, Galen. Lay out the story a little bit here. At issue is Tesla's right to sell its electric cars here in Massachusetts. The auto dealers have taken their fight to Beacon Hill. What are they trying to accomplish, the auto dealers?
Well, Tesla seems to have been able to open a store, I believe they call it a gallery, in the Natick Mall, basically functioning as a showroom. You order the car online, it's delivered to you. They do test drives out of the facility or using a nearby facility where they have the cars. They can offer test drives there, and you know, so in many ways it functions as a showroom.
Right.
The auto dealers say that should be against the law. They've fought that in court. They lost that suit on a technicality. They've appealed it, and now they are also pushing to have, I guess you might say, the law clarified or changed so that it would be beyond any doubt that auto manufacturers like Tesla should not be doing car sales like activities on their own without a dealership as an intermediary.
Well, Galen, tell us what's the history of this? What's the reason that we can only buy cars through a dealership? How is that supposed to benefit the consumer? What's the thinking behind that?
That's a good question. I think if in terms of benefiting the consumer, I guess the dealership association might be the better one to answer that question. The auto industry is very complicated in terms of how transactions between manufacturers and dealers are financed. So certainly I think there's a question of what's fair to the dealers involved in this. They've invested money in building up their business, and if a Ford or a GM could suddenly decide it was cheaper or more efficient to go around them, they would be at a severe disadvantage. I think they certainly have an interest to protect in this. In terms of what makes a dealership run by a manufacturer better or worse than a dealership run by an independent dealer, I don't know. I guess it would vary from case to case.
Well, we will be talking with the president of the Massachusetts State Automobile Dealers Association in a moment. But Dermot O'Connell of Tesla, let me come to you. Why do you want to sell your cars directly to customers rather than working through a dealership system?
Sure. I'd love to answer that question, but let me clean up a couple of facts here if I could.
Sure.
It was mentioned in the intro that you cannot sell cars directly in 50 states. That's actually not true. There are only two states where we're prohibited from selling directly. That's Texas and Arizona. The reason these laws exist in the first place was in an earlier era of the automobile industry, they were set up to protect mom-and-pop dealerships who had won franchises from the large manufacturers. When the manufacturers got bigger and wanted to sell direct, these laws were set up to protect those mom and pops from, say, unfair competition. In that respect, some of these laws are quite fair, although they've been turned into distribution monopolies in some states. But in almost all states, if you are a manufacturer who has never granted a franchise, there is no bar to you selling directly. And that's essentially the case in Massachusetts, as has been demonstrated by the fact that we have a license for a store in Natick, not at the Natick Mall, but off location. We have a license to sell. We have a service center that's also licensed over in Watertown. And we can do that because we've never granted a franchise dealership, and so we would not be competing with someone who we had granted a license to. And this is logical. I mean, in the context of free enterprise, why should we be barred from competing in the market as any other manufacturer? The auto dealership system is actually rather unique. It's lagged behind distribution relationships and systems in almost every other product category. You can buy just about any product that you want of whatever value, some quite more expensive than automobiles, directly from manufacturers.
But isn't this all, let me just jump in there, because isn't one of the issues, this isn't just about how much it costs. I mean, an automobile is a very complicated piece of equipment, and it sort of requires the expertise and someone who can answer your questions and someone who can provide the service, most importantly.
Right. And actually, that goes to your first question, which is, why are we doing this? So Tesla was started to catalyze the market for electric vehicles. Electric vehicles are new technology. They're innovative technology. And we believe that in the context of our mission, what we're trying to do more broadly, which is get this technology less expensive over the course of time. And by the way, our cars, the base price is in the $60,000, not $100,000. Mm. Our first car was $100,000.
Okay, fine. Thanks for that correction.
In that context, we're trying to educate the customers. It's a longer sales cycle. This is not like walking into a dealership, deciding what car you want and doing the transaction right there. We tend to spend hours, if not days, with our prospects, and that's why our store environments are ideally suited to nurturing that customer relationship and to servicing those customers. We go to the nth degree to service our customers. We come to where we have a density of vehicles, where we've sold a density of vehicles, we set up a service center. But even before that, we have a service that's called the Tesla Rangers, where we will come to your driveway, and we will either deliver a loaner car for you, or we will bring that car to a convenient service center. And essentially, it's very much of a white-glove service. So we believe that we can nurture the relationship first, introduce the technology best, and service the customers over the lifetime of their vehicles.
But do you see this as a model sort of for the long term that eventually, I mean, it seems like you're sort of opening up a new model here that would really upset the way we've been selling cars for a long, long time.
I can understand why that might be the case, and certainly that's the dealer's argument, that if we get to do it, then Ford and GM and others would get to do it. That's not the fight that we're taking on here. I mean, we've stipulated publicly, I've said in public testimonies, my boss, our CEO, Elon Musk, has said, look, there's going to be a time when it might make sense for us to sell through dealers. When we're selling hundreds of thousands of cars, that's where the dealer model works, because we can sell 100 cars at once as opposed to one at a time. When we want to expand our geography very quickly, that's another place where the dealer model makes sense. But right now, in the beginning of this market, in the early stages of this company, I mean, think about this in context. We're looking to place between 10,000 and 20,000 vehicles a year throughout the United States and the world, okay? There's something like 16 million cars that are going to be sold in the U.S. this year. So we are a rounding error on a rounding error right now. We are not trying to take down the franchise dealer system. We are not trying to set new precedent. But the dealers, for their part, are trying to lock down a monopoly on distribution that they've built over the course of time through progressive legislative sessions in many states, and that's what you see. Happily in Massachusetts, this was adjudicated by a judge who ruled that the franchise laws cannot be used in this fashion to exclude competition from the marketplace.
You guys are, I agree, you guys are small potatoes, you know, relatively speaking, but isn't this kind of part of a larger vertical integration strategy that, I mean, for example, the supercharging stations that Tesla has deployed, from my perspective, it seems like you guys are way ahead of anybody on that. Your technology is better, and you've been more aggressive about expanding it, at least here in the U.S., than any competitor. The way it looks for me is, at least on a small scale now, but certainly if you're ambitious, on a large scale sometime in the future, you guys will have everything from the manufacturer of the car, and that extends up into the supply chain, down to not only the dealership where it's sold and serviced, but the actual gas station or fueling station where it gets energy to drive.
So, Galen, are you saying that that Tesla's on the verge of...
It will become, a sort of a Henry Ford... like vertical integration here. It's hard not to see the sort of the framework for that in Tesla's efforts to date.
Yeah. Well, so let me address that. I mean, look, we're a very small player right now. Vertical integration makes sense for us to protect ourselves from suppliers who might otherwise take advantage of us. Okay, that's why we do it in manufacturing. Hmm. The reason we're introducing things like superchargers and so forth is to illustrate for the broad public that there's that the ecosystem of EVs is easy and it's available now. We, as a practical matter, we're trying to encourage competition. We already develop and manufacture electric drivetrains for two large automaker manufacturers, Mercedes and Toyota. We've done 3 products for Mercedes, 2 for Toyota. We really want to see competition in the marketplace. The fact that Ford and Nissan, as you mentioned in your intro, are doing this, that's all good. We got into this business out of a high sense of mission to really that we believe that electric vehicle technology is beyond ready for the marketplace, and that we simply want to provide the best product and the best experience out there to get the general public excited about this technology. If you're positing that someday we'll be the monopoly manufacturer of EVs and infrastructure and so on, that's way too much to ever imagine. And even as you said, if Ford tried to do that, he never succeeded. So that's so far out there, it's beyond imagination. Right now, what we're trying to do is start our business, get traction for our business, get some enthusiasm for electric vehicles out there in the marketplace, and that's why we're setting up our own stores, because we really want to let folks know how this technology compares to everything that's come before it, and let them know and have an excellent customer experience over the course of their lifetime, so they come back and buy our next car.
Well, Dermot, stand by there for a second, because I want to encourage our listeners to get in on this conversation. Listeners, we want to hear from you. Should new automobile companies like Tesla be able to sell directly to you? In a moment, we're going to hear from the dealers. They say no, that the law protects you. Do you buy that? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Twitter and Facebook at Radio Boston. Dermot O'Connell, I want to ask you one question about, we heard earlier from Galen Moore talking about your desire to get legislation passed that would clarify the law here in Massachusetts. What do you want the legislature to do in terms of clarifying the law?
Well, we don't, frankly, as it stands right now, we don't need the legislature to do anything. We have a license. There's a clear path for us to expand our business as we move forward. But we knew that our legislation was filed basically in response to the fact that the Dealers Association filed some legislation to shut down the market, basically to, I would say, clarify the law in their own interest and close what they would probably characterize as a loophole by which we've obtained our licenses and hope to obtain future licenses. So they're going to legislature to lock it down. We're going to legislature simply to defend the status quo, as it were. So we're not the party that's trying to change the status quo. We're the aggrieved party. We're the party that's essentially defending the status quo.
Let me ask you about, and again, we're going to hear from the Dealership Association in a moment, but what about the service issue? The dealerships will make the case that if you have a problem with a car they sell, you can bring it back to them to get it repaired. If I buy one of your Model S's and I have a problem, can I take it to any repair shop anywhere, or does it have to go all the way back to California?
Well, right now, no, it doesn't have to come all the way back to California. We have a fully functional service center in Watertown, where our customers come. It's only 5 miles from the sales point in the Natick Mall. Oh, I'm sorry, in Natick. We don't yet sell out of the Natick Mall. So you can drive your car to our service center and have it fully serviced. As I said before, if you live in a remote location, we will actually come to your door, and we will come to your door either with a service loaner or we will come to your door, perform the service there if it's convenient and if you're okay with that, or we will flatbed the car to our nearest service center and take care of it that way. I mean, we're super committed to servicing our vehicles. And, you know, just because we're small yet right now and folks are saying, well, you know, I can't get, you don't have multiple service points. We will have multiple service points. In fact, our service points go in before our stores go in as we're developing markets. With respect to third-party repair, I know that's been an issue in Massachusetts in the last year or so. The technology is still novel, and so we're probably best suited to help our consumers right now. But, you know, I think anything is possible as we go forward. Certainly we're trying to make it possible that more EVs get into the marketplace. So there's no reason why over the course of time independent service providers, independent garages and shops wouldn't be servicing electric vehicles, ours and others.
Well, Dermot O'Connell, he's Vice President for Business Development for the Tesla Motor Company. Dermot, thanks so much for joining us today. We're very grateful.
Hey, it was my pleasure.
And good luck to you.
Thanks so much.
Galen Moore, I want to just come back to you. You test drove one of these cars. I'm really interested to hear what that experience was like. This was the Model S you test drove, right?
Yeah, that's right. They were kind enough to bring it out to South Boston for me, since I was on a bicycle the day that I was supposed to do the test drive, so I wasn't able to make it out to Natick. You can tell from that I'm not a big car fanatic, but it's a fascinating vehicle. The interior is roomier than really anything I've ever driven of a comparable size. It doesn't have the sort of engine, components that a normal car does. So you can just have this big, wide open interior, and the.
You described it as the love child of a Honda and a Maserati.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's right, it did. It's a Honda Accord, to be specific. The exterior of it is striking, but I wouldn't say it's, head turning.
Yeah.
But it is a very fun car to drive, handles really nicely and quick. The electric motor just goes directly to the wheels rather than through a transmission, and I think as a result of that, you have a much faster 0 to 60 than in another you might have in a comparable car.
Well, it sounds really, Galen, stand by, because I want to bring Scott Doobie in. He's president of the Massachusetts State Automobile Dealers Association, to get the other side of this story. And Scott Doobie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So as you heard Dermot O'Connell making his case, if customers want to buy directly from Tesla, why not let them?
Well, our issue is that right now, despite what Mr. O'Connell seems to think are the facts, we don't believe the law allows that. And we believe that at the lowest level, the court got it wrong. So we think on appeal, this will be reversed quite easily. They rely on really old law that was changed in 2002, and somehow the court went along with that. But we think the issue is that everybody needs to play on the same playing field. And so if they would like to sell cars directly, they need to get the law changed.
But is this good for consumers? I mean, make the case for your organization and what the dealer brings to this interaction, why it's important to have a dealer in the middle.
Yeah, let me do that, because one of the things that's important to know is that I'm not just the president of the Mass State Auto Dealers Association, but I'm also a franchise dealer. I represent Hyundai out in Wilmington, Massachusetts. So, I'm a second-generation automobile dealer. We have other franchises in our family as well, and I can tell you that part of the biggest thing is that it maximizes competition. So I'm in competition with four or five other Hyundai dealers all within 10 miles of me or 12 miles of me. So the consumer, if they want to, have the ability to, work one dealer against another, and they do it every day. We witness it in our showrooms, and anybody that buys a car knows that's how it's done. I kind of wonder how that's going to occur in a big box setting or in an Apple store. I mean, Apple doesn't negotiate one bit on theirs, and you either take it or you leave it, both on the deal when you buy it.
But isn't the argument, though, that one of the advantages is selling direct to the buyer is, you can just take, 6, 7, 8, 9% right off that price. So in a way, there'd be less to negotiate around.
Well, do you believe that? I'm not sure I believe that. I don't know why that would be.
Well, I'm pretty sure that the dealers make money when I buy a car from them, and I don't hold that against them. They have to make a living, too, so, of course, I'm paying for the car and keeping the dealer in business as well.
What's interesting, actually, is the dealers don't make that much money selling you the car. I mean, they make money on that, but they really make their money servicing the vehicles, which is one question I'm interested in asking Scott is, if you guys in the Dealership Association have a sense that with electric vehicles coming with less maintenance, that's going to be, tightening constraints on dealers as well. Electric vehicles are supposed to have far less maintenance than internal combustion cars. And really, I think it's acknowledged that dealerships do make their money servicing cars, not selling them.
Well, let me say this, Galen. I think that a dealership, a modern-day dealership now, compared to even when we started in 1975, my family, it's a completely different business model, and it's fully integrated. So we have to make a little bit all over the place. So we have to make a little bit on the initial sale. We need to make a little bit in service, and we have to build a long-term relationship with the customer. So I think that's still the same. I mean, we still have to make a little bit of money all the way around, or else the model doesn't work. The next piece, though, with electric vehicles requiring less service, I think the jury's still out on that. The internal combustion engine has gotten more and more efficient, and less and less pieces are maintained, if you will. You know, we're not changing spark plugs all the time like we used to, or points in condenser, and all of these other pieces that, you know, throughout the years we were replacing as maintenance items. All, a lot of that stuff has really gone away. Along with the fact that the cars are just more reliable. They just don't break. I will tell you that when we got the Hyundai franchise in Wilmington in 2004, we were doing about twice as much warranty work as we are today with half as many cars on the road.
Scott Doobie, so, I'm afraid I'm going to have to wrap it up there. I'm sorry. This is such an interesting conversation. We only just started it, but I want to thank you, Scott Doobie, president of the Massachusetts State Automobile Dealers Association, and Galen Moore, web editor for the Boston Business Journal. Thank you both.
Thanks, Anthony.
And listeners, I'm sorry we didn't get to any calls. Please post your comments on this discussion at radioboston.org. And stay with us. There's a lot more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.